MC Lob Shear, the host of the Cashflow Ninja podcast and also the president and chief wealth and investment strategist of Producers Wealth, where we help our clients integrate cashflow banking, also known as infinite banking, with their business and investments. If you're interested in learning more about how we create strategies that integrate cashflow banking and investments to turbocharge them, you can access a video series at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com.
Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast sharing how to create income streams and manage, multiply, and protect your wealth in the new economy. Here is your host inside the dojo, MC Laubscher.
Hello, Cashflow Ninjas. MC Laubscher here, and welcome to another episode of the Cashflow Ninja. I have a great show for you today, and in today's show, we're going to look at the importance of building a solid financial foundation as an investor. My guest in this episode is Gino Barbaro. Gino is an investor, business owner, and entrepreneur. He has been investing in real estate for over 15 years and has grown his multifamily portfolio significantly in the last 5 years. He's teamed up with Jake Stenzano to create Jake and Gino, a real estate education company that offers coaching and training in real estate investing. He's also the best-selling author of Wheelbarrow Profits. Today's episode marks a very big milestone. It is our 400th episode. Thank you so much for all the support that you've given me. I really, really appreciate you always spending your most important resource with me, your time. If you're interested in joining our investors group, you can go to cashflowninja.com/investors group and fill out an application form or email me at info@cashflowninja.com to start the discussion to see if you're a good fit for our group.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the United States. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Learn how to find the best deals by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
Gino, welcome back to the show.
MC, thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Always great to speak to you, my friend, and always great to connect. Before we jump into our episode for today, maybe you can share a little bit about your background and journey for listeners who are not familiar with you and what you do and haven't caught the other episode, which they absolutely should, on cashflowninja.com.
I will give you the 30-second overview. Graduated college in 1992. I'm an older dude, right? Went into the restaurant business. My father had a restaurant, so I bought a restaurant in 94. Had the restaurant for 20 years, retired from the restaurant in March of 2016. Reason why I left back in 08, 09, the Great Recession came and affected us. I hated what I was doing. My father had passed away, so I'd always worked with him, so I just felt that yearning to do something different. It was almost like the shackles were let off where now I can actually go do something that is about me. The restaurant was about me and him. I wanted to do something for myself. Went to life coaching school, which was transformational for me. Personal development is huge. I went for the personal development aspect. Man, I got a great degree from that. Got into real estate with Jake back in 2013. We bought our first deal. Took us 18 months to find our first deal. So it's hard to get into any aspect. I had a good financial foundation. I had a lot of limiting beliefs. I had one restaurant in 22 years. I've accumulated over 1,000 units in 5 years. So, I mean, once the limiting beliefs get ripped off, sky's the limit. Father of 6 children, homeschooling my kids. Family is the most important thing to me. So when everyone is done with this podcast, what I'd like them to think of is think of the top 4 or 5 values that you have. One of my top values is family. That's why the restaurant was painful for me, working every weekend, working on the holidays. Christmas Eve, I'd be working 20-hour days. And that's one of the things that was yearning to me. So I have, on one part, I treasure my family and spending time. And on the other part, I'm working all these crazy hours and I have no control of my schedule. So that was what was conflicting to me. So when you are all done listening to the podcast, sit down and think of your 4 or 5 top values for you. For me, it was freedom, financial freedom, family, having fun with my family, right? And just having the ability to get on a podcast 3 o'clock in the afternoon, be able to go to work and have a mastermind call at 9 p.m. tonight. And then you know what? Work with who you want to, when you want to, where you want to, and why you want to. So a little bit more than 30 seconds, but I hope you get the gist.
No, and you hit the nail on the head with the central kind of theme that I think most people yearn for. You know, you think about, you know, people talk about retirement and saving for retirement, and they talk, you know, which is just something that I don't necessarily like, because it means that you retire, right? You stop producing and creating, which means you stop contributing to your to society, basically, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I don't really like that term. So I usually say what people crave and what their goal is, they just don't know how to basically state it, isn't the retirement, isn't to stop and stop producing and stop creating, but it's actually freedom. That's the central kind of theme, is to be the ability to do what you want with whom you want, when you want, where you want, at all given point in times. That's what you're craving. You're not trying to run away from something, right? Because that would almost be, you know, that would be crazy to spend your life 30 to 40 years grinding away with something that you don't like, to eventually step away from it, and that's your reward, to stop doing that, right?
But that's how we've been conditioned. You know, yeah. I was sitting in an Allstate office here, living in Florida. I've got a golf cart, street legal golf cart. I don't know if I told you the story. I need to get this thing insured. It costs a fortune to get a street legal golf cart. So I had to go to Allstate. They bundle it up. I'm sitting there. The gentleman's talking to me. Just met him, a nice guy. He says to me, you know, someone of your stature, you need some financial planning. Are you planning for retirement, planning to save for college? And I looked at him. I said, Mike, I'm retired, bro. I don't need to plan for retirement. I've got cash flowing assets. So he looked at me and he said, I don't think he got it. I think he understood it. And the moral of the story is, I never planned to retire. I retired from the restaurant. I left that business and I moved on to greener pastures. So I want everyone on the podcast right now just to challenge themselves and say, what does retirement look for me? I mean, hey, if you're 61 years old and you're ready to cash it in, and that's one thing that's great. But if you're my age, early to mid 40s, and you're saying to yourself, there's more out there, let me learn a skill set. Let me learn how to create value. Become a coach. Learn how to coach other people, mentor other people. Because when you're in your 60s, walk around with your cane, you can still add a tremendous amount of value to people. And that's something that I can do and carry on. And you know, MC, rubbed off. My wife, she's six. Like I said, we have six kids and she homeschools, and she says she's bored. So that's the kind of woman she is. She's a superwoman. She'll kick my butt anytime. But I got her into it. She's doing marriage coaching right now, and she wants to do relationship coaching. So there's another stream of revenue for me. And on top of that, she's only 42 or 43 years old. I think we're done having kids. I'm hoping there's a little, you know, ability to have another one. But the whole idea is she's going to be able to create value and add value to other people's lives for the next 30, 40 years. She's going to still be relevant, and she's going to, you know, life is all about relationships. You know, we talked off the air before about that struggle I have with spending money and gifting and doing whatever. Ultimately, it comes down to relationships, what kind of relationships you can have with other people. And if you can have fulfilling, empowering relationships where you actually listen to people, where you're not interesting to people, you're interested in people. If you learn that skill set, you'll have much better relationships. And I think you'll enjoy life. And I think you'll be much happier in life.
Right. And you talked about in the beginning there, when you started your journey, moved out of the restaurant business, went into life coaching, and then into real estate. Here's a central theme that I pick up from successful people such as yourself. I pick it up from, you know, the Kiyosakis, the Cardones, all these folks. You had mentioned that there was a time period, what was it, 18 months before you purchased your first property?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it's the same thing. I think Cardone looked at properties for 2 years. You know, Kiyosaki still teaches you got to look at 100 before you even purchase your first one, because you've made the decision and now real life school starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yep. because you made that commitment, talk to us a little bit about that. Because 18 months, I mean, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I'm going to make your listeners ponder a couple of the questions. The first question everyone needs to ask themselves on the podcast: do you love your life? Real simple question. If you do love your life, dude, hats off to you. You're probably about the top 5 or 8% in the country. I didn't love my life 5 years ago, 8 years ago. That's why I went to life coaching school, to figure out what my why was. Because if you can figure out what your why is, then you'll figure out how. I just wanted to really help people. I wanted to add value and I wanted to become relevant. I wanted to be a thought leader in an industry and I wanted to enjoy myself and really help others flourish. So that coaching was a perfect niche for me, but I didn't want to just be a coach. I wanted to become financially free. I wanted to learn how to become a real, truly successful business person. So if you don't love your life, that's okay. There's aspects of your life that you do love. Write those down. Write down the aspects that you do love of your life. I love my, at that time, I loved my family. I had a little financial stability. I like that. There's other aspects that I did like, but I didn't like living in New York. I didn't like paying high taxes. I didn't like the cold weather. I didn't like the restaurant. So there's a lot of things that I didn't like. Next thing is focus on what you want, because I was focusing what I didn't want. Every time someone asked me, what do you want? I would say, I don't want to work at the restaurant, but that's not focusing on what I do want. You have to focus on what you do want. And then that's where the life coaching came in. And I forgot what the rest of your question was. I'm just babbling on about the importance of, you know, what you need to know and why your life sucks if it does. And it's okay if it does. Do a deep assessment and figure out what would really truly bring value and joy to it and start focusing on that.
Yeah. And that ties into what I said about the 18 months, that it took you 18 months to pull that trigger on that first property, because as you just eloquently stated, you've discovered that why, you figured out what you didn't, you know, what you didn't want, but what you do want and what your life would look like. So that act, that help drives you, because now you're not just passionate about something. There's a purpose.
That's right. And I love that. Vision. Yes, that's right. So Tony Robbins talks about the motivation, two types of motivation, moving away from pain or moving towards pleasure. At the point, I was moving away from pain. I didn't know it, but I just wanted to get away from the restaurant, get away from that feeling. And I was moving towards pleasure now doing the restaurant. And 18 months is not a long time. We started Jake and Gino 3 years ago. It's been I don't want to say the grind, because I really enjoyed it, but there's been a lot of days and nights going on the phone, talking to people, a lot of hours where you're not getting compensated, which is, that's what part of being in business is. But it doesn't happen overnight. There's no such thing as an overnight success. I mean, you'll see people who have plans and get things done. It just doesn't happen. And if you are lucky, I know, as T. Harv Eker says, you're just going to lose it. It just doesn't happen where you're going to go rip somebody off, you're going to make some money, and you're going to lose it. You need to have the skills so that when you do lose it, you can go back and get it back.
Yeah, it's the consistency, right? The consistency of doing it. Now, one of the things you and I spoke about briefly was, people talk about getting into real estate, investing in real estate and multifamily or single family and so forth, but they jump into something and they don't have their ducks in a row as far as their own personal economy. And, you know, you have to make money, you have to protect money, and you have to multiply it. Sometimes they try to jump straight into the multiplication, and that could really, really hurt you. You know, you and I had spoken before to just of some of the things that people teach, whether it's leveraging insurance to purchase investment products, whether it's leveraging debt. If you don't have a certain level and you don't have of understanding and a knowledge base and competency, and you also don't have your ducks in a row, it could be very, very devastating for you.
I agree. So another action step I think the listeners need to do, if you do not have a personal budget for yourself, you need to create a personal budget for yourself. I'm a big Dave Ramsey fan for the very beginning of your financial education. You need to start with him if you have a very low level of financial education or you have a lot of personal debt. Start a budget. You're going to save 17% on average if you create a budget. You're not only going to focus on your expenses, you're going to also focus on the top line, on the income, how many phone calls you need to make, what are the multiple streams of revenue are there out there? It's not just about expenses. You want to control your expenses and you want to be able to say, you know what, I went out to eat 6 times this week. Maybe I should go out 4 times and spend that money somewhere else. So you're going to be taking control of your expenses. Next thing is you need to have an emergency fund, like Dave Ramsey talked about. The next thing you need is 3 to 6 months of personal savings set aside in case you want to take the leap, quit your job and do something else, or if you get sick or injured. That's really all sound financial advice. I think that's where I stop with Dave Ramsey. I think debt, if used wisely, personal debt is horrific. You don't want to have any kind of personal debt. The only personal debt I have is a mortgage right now in my house. You want to have business debt. You need business debt to lever your personal debt. But you need to be wise about it. Right now, we're at the top of the market. You don't want to be over-levered because, you know, in the multifamily space, we're running 96, 97% occupied. If those occupancies decide to drop to 85 and we're over-levered, we're going to get hammered. That's what happened in the last cycle with a lot of people. So you have to be wise about using debt. But the other thing is you just need to have that basic financial education, income and expenses. And if you don't have that, Google it, go to community college, start learning what balance sheets, income statements are, statements of cash flows. You need to learn that for your personal and finance.
You're listening to Gina Barbaro on the Cashflow Ninja podcast. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Life settlement investments have allowed financial and banking institutions to not only buy their equity contractually, but also diversify their capital from any economic, market, and geopolitical risk. It's been part of the $1 billion blueprint followed by institutional investors. And if you're an accredited investor, you can also now participate in this vehicle with enormous growth potential. You can watch an informational webinar presented by one of the premier organizations providing life settlement investments, Penumbra Solutions, at cashflowninja.com/life settlements.
You're listening to Gina Barbaro, Cashflow Ninja podcast, and I'm back to our interview. So true. We're here, episode 400. We're ready to go into the new year. One of the biggest and most important things that you can do in your planning is figure out where you are. Having a conversation, and I've had many of this with a lot of folks over time, when you're in a situation where, and I mean, this is true real life stories, where somebody's spending thousands of dollars more than what they're bringing in per month, and then stating, well, I want to become financially free and create cash flow. That's not the first step. But the first step should be to clean up your personal economy, get your ducks in a row. But I think there's still a lot of folks out there that, we all are ambitious. We have big goals, but how do you, being from South Africa, how do you eat an elephant, one bite at a time, right, Gina?
That's right. I think everyone has to have that mind shift. I follow a gentleman named MJ DeMarco. I love his mindset. I love the fact that he's an entrepreneur. He wrote the book, The Millionaire Fastlane. He talks about being a consumer versus a producer. The majority of people in this country are consumers. All they do is consume. They buy stuff. If you want to become truly wealthy, you need to start producing, whether it's producing value for others, getting out there, creating a business, buying assets. So think about that first. Don't always go out there, and we're during the holiday season now, so we're out there spending money buying Christmas gifts, and I know it's very difficult, and having six kids, it's killing me right now, but I have enough income coming in that I can handle that consumption. And the middle class, what we tend to do is as we make more money, we tend to spend more money. I think there's a cap. I think you want to be able to say to yourself, I need to save at least 10% of my income. And when you're at that level and you start making more income, that number should correlate and go up with the amount of income that you're earning.
Absolutely. Parkinson's law is always lingering out there. So where the more money we make, the more money we spend. So when you build and set up an infrastructure, again, back to that ducks in a row, now all of a sudden you can allocate that money a little bit better to push you towards your goals, right?
Correct.
About wealth capture and then obviously deploying it into cash flow producing assets. Let's talk about real estate a little bit. You touched on multifamily. That's a niche that you know very, very well. What are you seeing out there in the markets that you're operating in, of where we are with regards to the market cycle and as far as the economic cycle?
Well, I mean, the market, we've started buying 5 years ago. So obviously everyone knows that real estate has expanded. We've been on a 10-year run right now. We're still buying very conservatively. We're closing on a deal actually tomorrow. 140 units, we're buying it ourselves. We syndicated the deal a month ago. So we did our first syndication raising private capital. MC, it's a really weird thing that's going on in multifamily. I think that the wealthy individuals know that it's a huge tax shelter, right? Now, I wouldn't say tax shelter, but you between cost segregation and all the other tax benefits that you have, people are willing to take less of a return. So cap rates, I think, have been compressed from that. You couple it with money coming in from overseas, whether it's from China, whether it's from Argentina, whether it's from wherever, that's pushing cap rates down. The other thing is millennials and baby boomers are renting. They're going to continue to rent. So that pushes occupancy up. That pushes valuations up. Rent growth over the last 5 years has been some markets 10% over the last 5 years. It's still growing at 3-4% a year. So as rent grows up, grows, your net operating income grows, and that means valuations continue to go up. The trick is interest rates. Where are interest rates going to go? The 10-year T-bond right now, I think, is at 2.79% as we're speaking. It spiked over 3. It seems as if the economy is softening a little bit. So what you need to do as a real estate investor, you need to position yourself in a market right now where there's job growth and where there's people moving. Because when the economy does slow, what's going to happen is in those markets where people are fleeing, those jobs are going to flee and you're going to have occupancy and vacancy going up. So you want to position yourself in those stronger markets, secondary markets. We're in Knoxville. We love Knoxville. We also have we own a property in Louisville. We love Louisville. Other markets that we're looking at, we're actually within 3 hours of Knoxville because we self-manage all our properties. So we're right now looking at Lexington, Kentucky. We love Atlanta. Chattanooga is another great market, although it's a little expensive. So if the economy slows a little bit, that might affect multifamily short term. But I think long term, people are going to rent. Buying is not what it once was.
Absolutely. And you make a couple of really, really key points there to understanding the markets and trends playing into this. Obviously, taxes is a huge one.
Yep.
There's actually a website, How Money Walks, that I look at quite frequently because it documents the great migration that's going on within the United States and within states. So there's certain states folks are moving away from, the highly and overtaxed states, to states with more tax-friendly ones. And then obviously the demographics tying into that, where we have a very large demographic group that is entering their golden years, right? Their retirement years. So they're downsizing, they're looking at nicer weather, favorable taxes, and so forth. So huge factors playing into this that people definitely have to watch.
And where are those people moving from? I just saw Jake sent something over me the other day. I think 100 plus people per day are net migrating out of New York, California. I think there was another state. And it's amazing what the tax law did with that property tax, $10,000 and above. You can't write it off. That hammered me in New York. I left before that happened, but that is letting people between the $200,000 to $800,000 income range really think twice about, hey, can I move and go somewhere else and save that money and also go to a state that has no state income tax and save another 6 or 7% and get maybe better weather? And that's what people are banking on. And I think these states that are, I don't want to call them blue, but a lot of them are more liberal leaning. They really better wake up and see what's going on, because they're creating the really, really super rich and the really, really super poor. There's nothing in between. And the people in between are usually the ones that become rich. So I think they have to start watching out what's going on with the trends themselves.
New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and California are some of the states that I think there's a lot of migration. And where are they going? They're going to Texas and Florida, right? Arizona is another one.
If you're a business person and you're analyzing that, what do they all have in common? That's what you want. They all have high taxes. Most of them have crappy weather, with the exception of California. So high taxes, bad weather, and just not very, as far as Jake likes to call it, theft. They're just balance sheets are not really that good. And where are they going? Just now look to where they're going. They're going to states that have better weather, that have better tax policy, and better business climate. So as a real estate investor, you need to look at that and need to see where they're going. And that's how you make your decision how to choose a market.
Yeah, and the other thing is too, their pension systems are in massive trouble. A lot of their public ones. So that's another bailout waiting, which raises taxes, right? And property taxes and so forth. So you definitely have to be cognizant of that. Another thing that I'd like to ask guests to, Gino, is the Great Recession, the last one. Right? There's a lot of lessons to be learned from that, and I mean, these things are cyclical. Every 7 to 10 years, we have one. The economy slows down. It's these boom and bust cycles. What are some of the biggest lessons that you learned from the last one, things that you have taken with you? And as we move into the next one, that you would draw from experiences or lessons to position yourself, your family, your business for the next one?
Well, it's funny. This might be counterintuitive, but I was afraid when it happened. I think the next one, I'm going to be positioned a little bit better, and I'm not going to be afraid to spend money on marketing. I'm not going to be afraid to spend money on hiring or retaining the people that I have. Back in 08, when that happened, I mean, I had one place, I had one stream of income. I've created multiple streams of income right now that I don't have to say, I've only got one income coming in from the restaurant. So that's one really important lesson for me. Everyone out there needs to start creating multiple streams of income. So if one of them fails or gets slows down, the other one's there to pick it up. The other thing is, I think everyone needs to take care of, look at their personal balance sheet. Get rid of as much debt as possible. Try to become lean and mean right now. Cash is king right now. If I had cash back then in 2009 and 2010, I would have been buying more properties. Didn't have it. The next thing is just prepare by actually listening to the people like who really know what the hell they're talking about, like a Ray Dalio. He's talking about the credit crunch coming up in 2020. That's what Jake keeps talking about. Listen to guys out there who are in the fields who have been around for two or three cycles. Don't listen to somebody who's 31 years old and who hasn't been through one. Listen to someone who's been through one and see what they've done.
And that ties into to my next question of mentorship. And obviously, these people that you're looking at studying, they could be virtual mentors. Talk about the role that that's played in your life, that it continues to play and in your development and obviously your growth, not just in your business and in your family life and so forth, but your life in general.
Well, I've been blessed to do podcasts also. I think we're up to about 150 shows. And every single one of those, I think of those as personal masterminds for myself. Because when I get on a call with, let's say, Jay Abraham or a Dean Graziosi or a T. Harv Eker or an MC Lobsher, or, I mean, the list goes on and on. I have an hour to spend and talk to these, you know, thought leaders and be able to pick their brain and be able to talk to them. Like, Ken McElroy, what's going on in the market? Well, I'm not buying anything. Well, what do you see happening? That has really been amazing to me because I've been able to learn so much from people who are so much smarter than me. I think the fact is everyone needs to be reading at least, if you're not reading a book a month, then you're falling behind. I try to read one every 2 weeks, if not one a week. Right now, Jake's got me reading Atlas Shrugged, so it's going to take a little while to get through that bad boy. So last time we spoke, I know we were talking about that last time, but
yeah.
You need to be reading, right? And you need to be asking people who are really successful about reading. And I think business books are great, but I think it all starts with personal development and starts with, you know, with your mind, right? Because it's 80% psychological and 20% mechanical. If you know you can do it, you know, what did Henry Ford say? If you think you can or you think you can't, then you can or you can't, basically. You know, if you think you can do something, then you can do it. So you need to really work on yourself personally, figure out what you need to do, and then go out there and do it. And just continue to educate yourself. I look at it this way. I will never be an expert at anything, because once you think you become an expert at something, you stop learning. And there's always something to learn in your space.
What is the time allotment that you set aside for yourself on a daily basis to read and study Geno? And maybe you do it weekly, maybe you do it monthly. What are some of those targets?
I try to do at least 30 minutes a day, between 30 minutes and an hour a day. Sometimes I'll be lucky to homeschool my kids, so I'll get some financial stuff in with them. But you need to spend at least 30 minutes. In the morning time, I like to go for a walk in the morning, then come back and do a little bit of reading. I do so many different kinds of reading, so I'm creating content also. So I'm also doing training on other life coaching. So I'm putting the life coaching program together. So I lump that in with reading. So I'm reading other journals, other articles out there. So you need to spend between 30 minutes and an hour. You have 24 hours in a day. Let's say you sleep between 7 and 8, you know, you eat an hour. You need to spend 30 to 60 minutes at least a day working on yourself.
You've been super successful leaving the restaurant business, going into life coaching, and then also in the real estate space, just growing a portfolio, growing a community, growing relationships. If you would have to just share and find someone new that's looking to do the same kind of thing, what are some of the things that you would tell them to focus on and do? And what are some of the things that you would tell them to avoid?
Well, first thing they need to do is they need to understand that it's not going to happen tomorrow. I mean, it took me 5 years from when I bought my first property. When I first started looking with Jake to become retired from the restaurant. So 2011 to 2016, take your time. Enjoy the process. I didn't enjoy it as much as I should have, because I was always neurotic going, where's my next deal? Where's my next deal? And personal development coaching helped me with that. I'm looking at the mountain instead of enjoying the climb. I'm looking to get to the top of the mountain. So really enjoy it. Really think about every day. Really be actionable every day. Do something towards your goals every single day. Know that it's not going to happen overnight. Know that you don't have to quit tomorrow. You can still do both. Still have a passion for what you're looking to achieve, but still do the day job. That's okay. And try to find mentors. Try to, you know, don't be afraid to spend money on your education. We call it an investment. It's not money spent. It's money, you know, invested in your education. Things to stay away from: stay away from the shiny object syndrome. Stay away from one day's Bitcoin, the next day's life insurance, the next day is real estate, the next day is stocks, the next day is bonds, the next day it's gold. Try to learn one niche and really excel at that one niche. Really chunk it down, dig down deep. And then when you've gotten really successful, then you can go a little bit wider. I think that's what made us successful with multifamily. I didn't want a job flipping houses. So I stuck with multifamily. I saw the scalability. I saw the tax benefits. I saw the fact that we could create some type of passive income, even though it isn't, but I saw that we could create a business from it. And that's what led me to my success. If I jumped into mobile home parks and then did master leases or then did industrial, I might not have been as successful as I am now. So just really stick to a niche, focus on it, and then learn it. And then if you want to, go on to another niche once you've mastered it.
We've touched a little bit on the multifamily market and the markets that you operate in. And obviously there's a lot of things going on from the economy, market cycles. We talked about trends, the movements, especially the two big trends, taxes and the demographic trend. There's always deals. There's, you know, economies and markets go up, down and sideways. What does a good deal look like for Gino right now that you'll look at?
Right now, I'll tell you the deal we're buying tomorrow. It is $25,000 per unit. It's a C-minus property in Knoxville. It's 140 units, 140. There are five different properties spread out between the north part of the city. But the thing is, what's great about us is we already have an asset, about 120 units in that market, where we can basically create another management. So the economies of scale are great there. $25,000 per unit, it's bringing in about $500 per month per door, one bedrooms. So we need to put about $3,000 to $4,000 per unit. It'll be up to $29,000 per unit. That's what we're going to be into it for. I know it's going to appraise at $35,000 a door. We're going to be able to refinance our money out, pull our money out, and repurpose into the next deal. We're buying it. You know, cap rates are pretty irrelevant right now because right now it's the numbers, the income is not where it's supposed to be. It needs a little 1011 care. It needs a little bit of work. So we're getting 20% down from the bank with rehab costs built into the loan, which is great. So we're not going to have to come out of pocket with rehab costs. We have a great relationship with community banks. And I don't know if I've touched on this, but you know, but business is all about relationships. And if you don't have relationships, you need to go out there and start building relationships and start meeting people. We have a great team. We have a great team of, you know, whether it's an attorney, a CPA, we have great brokers on there. And also the banker, the community banker is great. So this property, it needs a little bit of work. The next 18 months, we're going to reposition it. But within 18 months of now, we'll refi it out to agency and pull all our money out.
You guys do a lot of masterminding, live events, and so forth. Can you share a little bit more about your group and some of the events that you've put on, and what are some of the plans for 2019?
We just had the event back in October in Nashville. We had 400 multifamily investors. It was great. I think that's another action step for everybody. I've listed so many action steps on this podcast. You guys probably want to kill me, but if you're in real estate or you're in any type of business environment, you need to go to these groups and mastermind and actually meet people. Our event was great. All the speakers, the education was fantastic. But more importantly than that, the networking there was amazing. People are finding partners there. They're finding money there. They're finding deals there. That's what's important. So you need to go to at least 2 to 3 events a year. And I know it's hard. I know it's expensive, but there's nothing like face-to-face, getting face-to-face with people. That was our second event. We're going to have one next year in October in Orlando, Gaylord Palms. It's right next to Disney. So October 19th and 20th. So if you want information on that, I'll give you a link for that. I think that's going to be another great event. It's just multifamily. We're going to have basically our entire team speaking there, from our brokers to our management team to our buy guys. I'm going to be doing a little life coaching there. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, the Jake and Gino community, we just continue to grow with our students who are looking to learn all about multifamily. And MC, you touched on something that's very important to me, the mastermind. I think everybody needs to find an accountability partner. Another action step, find an accountability partner where you can get on a phone once a month, maybe every other week, email him every week, and make sure you let them know what you're doing. Because you know what? You will do more for others than you will for yourself. And I learned that as a coach, that we don't want to let other people down. We'll let ourselves down. So if I say to you, MC, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. You know what? I'm probably going to stick to that because you're going to call me up and go, hey, Gino, you know, how you doing with the diet? I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm sticking with it. But if I'm all on an island all by myself, chances are that I'm going to fail. So get out there, find mastermind groups, start talking to like-minded people. And you know what? Don't listen to the naysayers.
Absolutely. Now, Gino, you have interviewed some amazing folks on your show as well with Jake. I learn something new and I pick up something new from every interview that I have with someone, and I take notes, scribbling down notes here as we're chatting as well. What are some of the things that you've learned lately or throughout the course of the year that you're saying, these are the things that I've learned on my show from folks that I've interviewed that I'm going to apply in 2019.
It's funny you say that. You know, this time a year ago, Jake and I swore we were never going to do a syndication deal. I'm like, I am not doing a syndication deal. I'm an equity hound. I want it all by myself. I want it all to myself. And then I start podcasting guys who do syndications, and I've had probably 15 or 16 syndication gentlemen on the podcast, and I've learned syndication through my podcast, and we ended up shattering that limiting belief, and we did our first we closed on our first syndication back in November. So the syndication process, where I thought it all had to be me, we started another multiple stream of income. We started a syndication company where we're raising capital from investors, bought the deal. That's something that was truly revolutionary to me. So you always have something to learn. Syndication is only one tool in the toolbox of multifamily. This deal we're closing on tomorrow, we're buying it ourselves in-house, just privately, just me, Jake, and my partner. But there's always ways, there's always things to learn. And I thought the whole syndication model wasn't appropriate for us. But then once you start diving in and saying, wow, people are controlling thousands of units with very little of their own money, it gets to become attractive.
Yeah, and it's such a great way to scale.
Yep.
Multifamily investing. Absolutely. Gino, this has been a blast, my friend. Always appreciate our conversations. What's exciting that's on tap on 2019 that you want to share with our listeners? And where can our listeners learn more about you, stay informed of all of these projects that you're involved with, and where can they follow you?
Real easy, jakeandgino.com. Our podcast is called Wheelbarrow Profits, three-legged framework, buy right, manage right, and finance right. Those are the three legs of the wheelbarrow. Jake and I are going to be coming out with another book, our second book, in probably April or May of this year. We've got that live event in October. We're going to be doing various boot camps with our investors. I mean, for us, we're just looking to scale the syndication aspect of the business and just have fun. And I'm just out there trying to get, you know, students to buy deals. That's my goal right now, is try to get educated students out there buying deals and making money, become financially free.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for connecting. It's always a blast to speak with you, and looking forward to following you and watching your continued success in 2019.
Thanks, MC. And you know what? All those action steps. I promise if you follow those action steps, you're going to have a great 2019. Take care, everybody. Thanks.
MC Lobshire, the creator and host of the Cashflow Ninja and president of Producers Wealth. And I'm on a mission to help you achieve economic and financial freedom as quickly as possible. I achieve this by integrating the infinite banking concept with real estate investments to increase your efficiency and returns and recapture cash flow that you're not even aware of that you're losing. I share the number one strategy for investors in my holistic wealth creation course at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. Thank you for joining me again on the Cashflow Ninja. Thank you for all your support. You rock. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here at the Cashflow Ninja, please subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. If you're not a subscriber to our newsletter, you can sign up for our newsletter at cashflowninja.com or text cashflowninja to 44222. I'm also posting daily videos on Facebook and YouTube, and will live stream weekly starting May 2018. To make sure you don't miss any of the live streams, please like and subscribe to my Facebook and YouTube platforms. I'm also dropping content on Instagram daily. Be sure to follow us on Instagram to get in on the action. I want to thank you for spending your most precious resource with me today, your time. That's our show for today. Until next time, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.